Welcome to Season 7, Episode 2 of the Firearms Trainer Podcast, published on March 12, 2024. We are part of the ConcealedCarry.com network of podcasts. I also want you to encourage you to look into the upcoming Guardian Conference on September 20th through the 22nd in Oklahoma City. Register now for the early bird savings and save. This episode, we'll be talking with Rob Chatwick from Delta Defense about what the USCCA is doing to support instructors in California. Help us help more instructors by giving us a 5-star rating in your favorite podcast app and share this with other instructors that you know. This episode is also brought to you by friends at the FTA, the Firearm Trainers Association. Visit their website at ftaprotect.com to learn more about their instructor coverage they offer and their competitive pricing. All certified instructors can apply for FTA coverage. And remember, for listening to this podcast, you get 10% off on your policy by using promo code FTP10 at checkout. This episode is also brought to you by the team at Mountain Man Medical. Responsible firearm instructors have trauma medical gear on the range and are trained to use it. Mountain Man Medical provides the highest quality, name brand medical gear on the market at a guaranteed lowest price. Check out the Wind River Kit, especially designed for firearm instructors to have at the range. The Yellowstone is perfect to have on your belt or in your bag anywhere you go. Learn more at mountainmanmedical.com and scroll to the bottom and click on available discounts to learn how firearm instructors can save 15% off the already guaranteed lowest prices on the market. And don't forget to click on the training link to take the emergency trauma response video course for free. Get the right gear and the right training at the best price anywhere on mountainmanmedical.com. We bring this podcast to support the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, you, everyday firearm instructor America that dedicates time and energy into making gun owners more knowledgeable. Today, we're joined by Rob Chatwick from Delta Defense. Welcome, Rob, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Rob, not everybody might be familiar with who Rob Chatwick is. Can you give us a little bit of your background and what you do at Delta Defense?
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity again. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Rob Chatwick. I'm the new Director of Education and Training for Delta Defense, which is the service provider for the United States Concealed Carry Association, so the USCCA. USCCA is a membership organization with over 800,000 and growing members across the country. So I have the distinct honor to be the lead for our education and training program. That is a big part of what we do for our members, help them become better educated and prepared to protect themselves, to become a true stakeholder in the security of them, you know, their family, their loved ones, and then also to prepare them for the aftermath, right? For what's going to happen after a self-defense incident, whether it's with a firearm or not. We provide a very strong self-defense liability insurance policy as part of that group membership as well.
Well, super. And who's Delta Defense?
So Delta Defense is the service provider. So it's sort of the parent company. So we're the people that actually, you know, the HR and the salespeople and the education and training people. We also publish a magazine, award-winning magazine, Concealed Carry Magazine, goes out to all 800,000 of our members every 6 weeks. And so it's sort of the people behind the association, so to speak. We're the support organization for the USCCA.
Oh, cool. Well, one of the things that got my attention just a little over a month ago was noticed that there was a lot of chatter out on Facebook and social media about new materials that were coming up for the USCCA for California. And I thought it'd be really good to go along and review those here because we've got a good chunk of our listeners out in California. And if it has anything to do with legal compliance and putting on a course out there, I'd like to make sure our listeners have that information at their fingertips. Can you give us a rundown of what the USCCA has come out with?
Happy to. So for those of you or those listeners who may not be familiar with what's been going on out in California, of course, California is always going to be a battleground state for Second Amendment issues. And a lot of people like to write California off as, oh, it's this liberal state. Well, there are probably more conservative people living in California than just about any other state in the union. They're 1 in 10 Americans is a Californian after all, right? So critical that we support our members out there and those that are Second Amendment advocates. And so this latest tact, I'll call it, from the gun control lobby you know, they've been trying for years to remove access to the tool, right, to the firearm itself, you know, gun control legislation, restrictions. Well, now this latest tack, and we'll talk about some other states that are sort of following suit, but California kind of took the lead late last year in sort of a surprise legislative move. It was California's SB2 is the name of the legislation. And what it did was, you know, of course, right in the holiday season, right towards the end of the year when everybody's trying to wrap things up, they dropped this legislation that would, in essence, remove the ability for well over 90% of those instructors in California to provide the training and education to people, the citizens of California, so that those citizens could legally obtain access to firearms. All right. So what SB2 did, among other things, was to require that your firearms instructor, so your CWP instructor licensed by the state, this new requirement mandated that they be certified by either POST or let me get this exactly right. The terminology there. So it was either BSIS, so the Bureau of State, I guess sort of like the state police, but state certified instructors only would be authorized to conduct these, you know, certification classes. And of course, you have thousands of instructors out there who are either USCCA instructors, NRA instructors, several other issuing and very credible organizations. That, according to California law, is no longer sufficient to allow you to provide that. You now have to go through this much, much more stringent process to become certified as an instructor and remain in compliance in California. The problem is California, as you know, the state of California just doesn't have the bandwidth to satisfy that, right? So, you know, it's a real challenge. And you know, one of the other things that was required under SB2, which we were able to do something about, the USCCA found out about this late in December and we were able to scramble. They changed the requirements. I want to say the original requirement was like an 8-hour class to get your CWP in California. And under SB2, the new requirement doubled that. Okay. So it went from an 8-hour to a 16-hour curriculum. And my staff with the USCCA at Delta Defense Headquarters, I have my instructional designers, my product developers. We scrambled to put together 16 hours of quality instruction, so the PowerPoints and the lesson plans and all that behind it, and made those available before the end of the year so that on January 1st, those lesson plans and those PowerPoints were available for instructors out in California to use. Another requirement that was passed, and again, relatively nebulous description, was 1 hour of mental health training, okay, which I think is great. There wasn't a lot of guideline as what that, you know, what that mental health training was supposed to encompass within this 16 hours. Luckily, at Delta, we have two licensed clinical psychologists on staff. And I was able to work with them, and they collaborated with my team again to design what I think is a very powerful and worthwhile block to satisfy that mental health component requirement of that 16 hours for the California SB2. But yeah, the real trick there was the suddenly sort of really restricting not the people's access, but the instructor's ability to legally provide that training. And thus, of course, the downstream effect is it removes access to would-be law-abiding citizens to get that training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're free to go out and get training anywhere you want. They just don't let anywhere be very very many places, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. And so we're you know, again, scrambling, trying to do the best we can to you know, help those people that are, again, would-be law-abiding people who obviously want to not only just obey the law, but get trained, be responsible, you know, gun owners. So we're out there doing everything we can to help, you know, supply those instructors that are able to do it, and then try to figure out some other ways to continue providing training and education in other ways as well.
Mm-hmm. Bet you never thought about you'd be going to a psychologist for course materials, right?
You know, it was really a rewarding process there. And I think, you know, again, as you know, you and I are about the same age, and we grew up in an era where, you know, back in the 70s, maybe even the early 80s, that wasn't talked about too much. But now it is, and it's a healthy thing, and I'm glad to see it included. I think this will help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's things have changed. You know, I know how my grandparents feel when I was a little kid, and they kept saying, you know, back in the old days. Well, guess what? I'm at that age now, and all of a sudden I'm saying the same thing. Back when I was a kid, you know, we just rubbed right. some dirt on it and kept playing type of thing. But things change, and as much as we might not want it to, the only consistent is change. Things will change tomorrow, and things will change, you know, 5-10 years down the road, and that's where being a good instructor means that you stay up on those changes to give the best quality information, training to your students as possible.
Absolutely.
So that's good. Something else that's really new that I'd be interested to hear your information on is USCCA is coming out with a new pistol program. Can you give us a little bit of background on that and when that might be getting released?
For sure. Thanks. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I didn't get into initially when we started talking was my background. I came here from the FBI. I had spent very little time in the civilian, you know, training world. I retired from the Bureau at Quantico, where I was head of our tactical training program at Quantico, at Hogan's Alley. And when I got out, I found out about the USCCA, still wanted to continue instructing, and one of my colleagues was a training counselor with the USCCA, went through that program and got certified as an instructor and then learned all about the program. And one of the things that I checked out initially was the USCCA's pistol training program. Sort of, you know, our flagship program is what we call CCHDF, so Concealed Carry and Home Defense Fundamentals. That is sort of your concealed weapon permit class. It's recognized by most of the states in the country. You'd go sit down through that. I think it's a very well-designed course, and states have approved that curriculum to satisfy the requirements for whether it's their concealed weapon permit or whatever they call it to legally, you know, carry a weapon concealed. Now, we also offer, the USCCA offers a wide range of other training curriculum. So from AR fundamentals to we call EFAF, Emergency First Aid Fundamentals, a wide range of training. But up until this year, our flagship pistol program had been Defensive Shooting Fundamentals, DSF. And, you know, while that's a good program, I looked at it, and as an instructor, I found some issues with it in terms of trying to teach it and, you know, operate a business. DSF is really designed to be sort of one continuous class. It doesn't lend itself to be, I'll call it modularized, right? And as you know, Rob, as an instructor yourself, you want to interact with your students from a learning standpoint over multiple weeks if possible, that we know mm-hmm. they're going to learn and retain that information and develop their skills over a period of time. But also as a business person, you'd love for that student to come back several times over multiple iterations. One, it's good for business. Two, it's going to encourage them. Yeah, you know what? This is, I'm actually getting a lot out of this. So our new defensive pistol program, DPP, is rolling out later this year. We literally last week were in Arizona running our certification course for our senior training counselors, our senior counselors who are going to go out and do the train the trainer, so to speak. We did that in Arizona, had a great week of shooting. We brought some really proficient shooters out there, some fairly well-known names in the industry. And then, of course, had the hot wash afterwards and got feedback. And I was just blown away by the positive reaction, how well this was received by, again, some pretty serious practitioners. So I'm really excited about rolling this out. DPP is designed to take a brand new shooter over a period of, say, 6 to 7 to 8 weeks, about a 1 hour at a time, and really get them comfortable and proficient. So developing that confidence and competence in their ability to use a firearm defensively.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really good, because as I found in my almost 15 years of providing training to the public and things. What worked 15 years ago, getting somebody, put them into a classroom or a range for 8 hours, that doesn't fit a lot of people's lifestyles now. They can give you maybe an hour or two here, maybe a Saturday morning. But if you go along and say, hey, we're going to do it all day Saturday, they're going to go along and say, I don't have a full day that I can dedicate to stuff. And again, having them come back is great because then they might take some other courses from you or get into that routine where they just want to, you know, come back and shoot and have the tutelage of being there and watching, and if you watch them and help them do things, because anybody who's carried a firearm for any length of time realizes there's more than just pulling the trigger and you know, hitting the bullseye. You've got to be able to move and shoot. You've got to be able to think while you're moving and shooting, and you've got to know where you're at and where you're going to. And what, you know, as we talk about safety rules, you got to know what your target is and what's behind it, because all those things are what you're responsible for as a firearm owner and carrier out there.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, Rob, the thing is here, these people are customers as an instructor. Your customer is coming to you as a trusted advisor, right? Somehow they found you, and your ability to visit with them over a period of time is hopefully going to allow you to build up that trusted relationship, right? That brand ambassadorship or whatever you want to call it. So these people, you know, you want them to come back, you want them to develop confidence, you want them to develop the lifestyle, really. And we know, you know, an 8 hour, 9 hour day on the range, there's such a diminishing return on investment there towards the end. It starts getting sloppy. It starts getting dangerous. So yeah, we've designed this in a totally different way. We want to meet the consumer where they are, right? All you got to do is look at YouTube, look at the you know, social media. Now, all the videos on YouTube, the short ones are the ones that are doing well. No one wants to watch an hour long video anymore. It doesn't happen, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the short form stuff. And there's a lot of science behind that too, the retention and the incorporation into your daily routine. That's what we're trying to take advantage of with DPP.
Yeah. And you know, just from a training perspective, we've all talked about the cognitive stack. And if you go along, put too much on top of somebody, they're going to forget those steps that you told them, you know, an hour ago. But if you go That's along right. and you teach them one day, you know, certain skills over an hour, and then when they come back for the second one, you do a quick refresher and then build on top of that. And then the third time, do a quick refresher and build upon it. All of a sudden, they've got time, A, for it to absorb and think about it, practice it at home and come back, and they'll probably do better than if you just tried to, you know, beat them from a fire hose in 1 8-hour class. And it's like, I don't understand why you didn't make the qualification. I mean, we told you everything you needed to know at, you know, 8 o'clock this morning. And by 5 o'clock, you know, you look like, you know, you've got, you know, all thumbs because you can't do anything. Well, there's physical and psychological, you know, drainage that happens there, that you're just not in top of form after all that time. I know that from myself taking courses.
Of course. And one of the key, you know, differences or additions, I'll call it, you know, to DPP now is that it very much incorporates the shot timer and not from the, you know, gamification side of it. What we want to be able to do as an instructor is show improvement, right? We want to show we believe, you know, again, science-based, numbers-based, we believe this is the window that you need to be operating at as a brand new shooter, and give you something to strive for over a period of time. And as a good instructor, you'll keep a log for that student to say, look, when you first came out here, you know, 4 or 5 Saturdays ago, you were here. Now you're here. Look at this difference. And right, we know that time in a gunfight means literally everything, time and accuracy. But if we can show a pattern of improvement, you know, again, building that confidence and that competence in their ability, that's what we want to help our instructors out there to do to keep those customers coming back.
Yeah. And one thing to think about, you're not going to have 100% of your students that come through your class have a sub-second, you know, draw. But that's not necessarily what you're trying to do all the time. Because right. If you get somebody who's at 5 seconds and you bring them down to 4 seconds, that's a 20% increase. If they're, you know, at 10 and you bring them down to 6, you know, that's a great improvement. And that's where it's trying to get them to be the best student they can. And maybe you know, after all those weeks, they get down to 2.5. But keep in mind, that's half of where they started from, you know, a 5-second draw. And they'll be in a lot better shape if they ever do have to get into a violent confrontation to know what to do and how to do it confidently than where they were when they were having a 5-second draw, getting their shirt caught up on them and not being accurate at all. Because accuracy is a determination.
Oh, no question about it. Right. So we do incorporate quite a bit of the, you know, drawing from concealment, which a lot of people have never done before. And you certainly don't want to go out in the real world with your life on the line, having never done that. We've incorporated, you know, USCCA came out with our brand new universal target, which I really like. It's super well designed. There's a lot of functionality into that. We're trying to price it such that instructors can afford to use these things. We want to make it a very, very user-friendly, instructor-friendly target. There's going to be a QR code on there that gives you access to a bunch of drills that change frequently. So yeah, it's pretty well designed. It's pretty slick. We want to make it, again, you know, price it so that people will actually be able to use it to support their business and their drills as well.
I got a question for you, Rob, and I'm going to hit you completely cold because I didn't ask this beforehand because it just popped in my head. You, as a law enforcement firearm instructor, you taught a lot of people that were going from being straight patrol, where they've got outside the waistband holster, who are qualified, past the state requirements and such, but then they shift over to do undercover work or detective work to where they're doing more concealed carry from it. How hard was it to go along and take these professional police officers and train them from drawing from an outside the waistband into being more of a covert to clear the jacket, clear the shirt, do those type of things to be able to have a confident draw?
It was quite a undertaking. So, you know, personally, so when I came out of the FBI, before I got to Quantico, most of my career I was involved in the FBI's tactical program. So I was on the SWAT teams, and one of our missions was interdiction. So covert interdiction of, you can imagine, like, you know, a backpack bomber or something like that, where you've got to get very, very close to that person before you're detected. So you're certainly not going to be in a SWAT uniform that we typically would roll out with, right? With a Kydex holster on the outside. So we had to really change up our training and devote quite a bit of that to, you know, concealing that weapon well, being able to draw it very quickly and effectively. So, you know, it is a very different draw. Like, it's a totally different draw stroke that there's so many considerations that you have to factor into it. It's something that I think so many people underestimate, especially when you factor in the stress that is going to be added into a real life situation. So, you know, ankle holsters, I used to laugh at agents. Oh yeah, I just carry my gun on my ankle. Well, that's great. Good luck with that. You know, maybe as a, you know, a third option, but if that's your primary weapon, you're at a significant disadvantage. Matter of fact, when I was with the Bureau and we had agents that, you know, wanted to carry their gun on their ankle, I would make them fire our pistol qualification course from their ankle, right? So they had to draw from the ankle and show me. And I would tell you, know, very, very few could do it and pass that PQC, you know, in the allotted time. So especially with whether it was a Glock 43 or back when I was doing it, it was a, you know, 26. But people just assume, well, I'll just get it out and I'll be okay. Well, you had better have practiced with that quite a bit to account for the stress that's going to throw all kinds of monkey wrenches into it.
I appreciate that insight, because I think sometimes we as concealed carry instructors, we start off concealed carry to begin with, but we don't really have a good appreciation about the skill set, the mind shift, different things along those lines, even changes in dress in order to go along and truly live the lifestyle and live it concealed and be able to use it also at the same time, because that's put it, you know, I've been carrying for a long time. You've been carrying for a long time. Sometimes we take it for granted when we have that new person come to class that, you know, this is kind of, you know, scary, concerning. Yeah, it's got a cool factor to it. But at the same time, we're telling you, you got to be responsible for every shot. You've got to be able to draw that before the other guy gets his out and move and shoot and be accurate about it. That's pretty intimidating. And again, the defensive pistol program sounds like it would fit in there really well, because it doesn't go along, cram that all into an 8-hour class. We're actually taking it and say, okay, let's work on your draw. Let's work on moving. Let's work on those type of skills to make you the best shooter that you can be.
Yeah. And you know, it's designed to send your student back home with whether it's a cert pistol or a, you know, like a yellow gun or one of those practice guns where you can do some dry firing, some practice safely. The drawing, just developing that stroke over and over and over, clearing the garment one-handed, two-handed. There's just so many things that you've got to think about. And, you know, every single one of us that carries concealed, think about what we would do. You have this vision of how it would go down. I can promise you, if you talk to the people who have actually been in scenarios, it never quite goes down as you had envisioned it, right? So it's never going to be that setup as you had, you know, maybe, you know, thought about. It's always different. There's never enough time. There's always something that is going to, you know, alter what you had in store or what you had planned. And you've got to just be able to extrapolate off of that. And you know, if you've never done it in practice, good luck in the real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I'll put in there, since you brought up the training guns and also the cert guns, instructors, if you're going to go after this, think about getting an affiliate program through USCCA with their instructor program or through Next Level Training for their cert pistols. Because if you're supplying them, if their students are happy, if they're seeing value in it, you can make a small commission off of it. And that's always, you know, as I say, with firearm training, it's a challenge. It's, you know, wish I was rolling the money, but if you go along and start building multiple sources of revenue like this, we've had several guests on talking about it. This is just another one of those examples that not only are you going to get paid for the course, but you're also going to, you know, potentially have some additional income from these other accessories that you're going to be selling them.
Oh, for sure. And I can tell you just from firsthand experience, great people at that company, you know, Next Level Training. We visited with them at SHOT Show just last month, and just a solid piece of kit. I had one the entire time I was an instructor with the Bureau. I traveled with it all over the world. And it's something that it's a great investment. And as you say, you know, become an affiliate with them, you know, through us. I'm not worried about us making the money. I just want the instructors out there to have the best equipment and always looking for a little extra way to make some money.
Yep. And there's a lot of things you can do with the cert gun, not only, you know, from practice or defensive pistol, but there's also the scenarios that are available from the USCCA that mm-hmm. you can use those guns for. And at the same time, I'll give you my own. I use it when I get a little bored on a call and I shoot my my switch plate in my room. That makes it really nice, really easy, and gives you something to focus on. And it's all about grip and having that nice, smooth trigger pull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about clearing that garment wherever your everyday carry is going to be, whether it's appendix, whether it's inside the waistband, however you decide, make sure that you've got that stroke down pretty well and you understand how to clear that garment first and get that good grip. And yes, cert pistols, a great tool for working on those skills.
Yeah. They got the Glock, the M&P, and also the SIG too. So there's mm-hmm. A lot of different varieties that you can use to, you know, emulate whatever your day-to-day carry is. Well, Rob, we really appreciate you coming on today, but before we let you go, we've got the question that we've been asking all our season 7 guests, and that is, what do you do for your mental health every day?
So I try to get, I think it's incredibly important to get outdoors. I like to go for a run, or even it's just a long sort of weighted vest walk, right? Whether it's a ruck or a weighted vest, and just get outdoors. And here's the important part. Without electronics, I don't have my cell phone. I'm not listening to an Audible book. I am just letting my mind be free. One, it's better for situational awareness. But two, just being outdoors, getting fresh air, getting some exercise that does not involve electronics, right? Just free yourself, devote some time where you're not staring at a screen. You don't have the auditory input. Let your mind just be kind of free. And let me tell you, man, that I can tell there are days where, you know, I wake up and the phone's already ringing and it's go, go, go. I can tell those days versus the ones where I've had the opportunity to start it off on my terms. And again, it's before the sun comes up, because, you know, we're all at an age now where, you know, unless you get it in first thing in the morning, it ain't going to happen. It's going to be overcome by events. But mm-hmm. I try to get up and get a nice run or a nice long ruck in, you know, hit the gym. Again, no electronics, not knocking them. I'm just saying you got to, you know, carve out a space in your life and be intentional about not having your face in a screen. I think that'll go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, Very helpful. And it sounds odd sometimes. I tell my wife not to try to figure out why my brain works this way. But after I take a break, sometimes I have some of my best insights into whatever's bothering me, too.
You know, no, there's no question, man.
Free the mind just, and the subconscious figures it out for some reason. I come back, it's like, you know, I should try this. And it's like, you know, I sat here trying to figure it out for, you know, a couple hours, and all of a sudden just poof, came to me.
There's a lot of science behind that, Rob. Yeah, man. Get outside, you know, let the blood circulate a little bit. Take a break from the screens and take a break from the phones and let your mind just be at peace. And it's amazing what'll come to you.
Yeah, that's the only time you're allowed not to listen to the podcast, everybody, okay?
Sounds good.
Well, Rob, where can people find out more about you and what the USCCA and Delta Defense is up to?
Yeah, USCCA.com is our website, and that'll take you just about, you know, get access to a bunch of the training, a bunch of the opportunities, both online and in-person training opportunities we have all over the country all the time. You know, I think my bio is on there. I'm not sure if anybody's interested, but you can find out just about anything you want about the USCCA and what we have going on USCCA.com.
Great. Well, I appreciate your time again tonight, and stay safe.
Thank you for the opportunity, my friend. Look forward to talking again.
That's a wrap for this episode. I hope you found the information that Rob Chatwick shared with us informative. And if you're in California, that you'll take advantage of it. Also, too, knowing the news just last week, we had Louisiana and South Carolina join the constitutional carry movement that is going across the country right now. Constitutional carry, permitless carry. Understand there's a bit of a difference there, but they're joining the growing movement there. If you're an instructor in those areas and you're wondering about what's going to happen to your business and things like that, I'm in Ohio and business can continue. What I would suggest, check our constitutional carry podcast that we've done in the past, give you some ideas on what you can do to diversify your income, to go along and offer your students what they really need when it comes to understanding self-defense and violent acts and how to respond to them appropriately. And we've got several episodes on that. Also want to go along, if you hadn't done this already after last week's episode, I wanted to encourage you to donate to the Walk Talk America Video Development Fund that they have. If you haven't done that so far, please check that out, because I think it's a very worthwhile cause, to say the least, when it comes to mental health and especially what they're doing and helping out the 2A community there. For if you have questions, suggestions on guest topics for me, you can reach out to me either by going to our website at firearmtrainerpodcast.com or by email at ftp@concealedcarry.com. Don't forget, register for the Guardian Conference coming up in September and get your early bird pricing. The link will be in the show notes. Visit our sponsors, especially the Firearms Trainers Association at ftaprotect.com, and check out their instructor insurance. Establishing your business is your first step. Your next step should be getting FTA coverage. Cover you and your students in case something does go wrong there. Doesn't always have to be with a firearm either, so keep that in mind also. And remember, listeners to this podcast can enjoy 10% off your policy with FTA if you use promo code FTP10 at checkout. We bring this podcast to support the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, every firearm instructor in America dedicates time and energy into making gun owners more knowledgeable. Stay safe out there, everyone.
Concealed Carry Inc. and ConcealedCarry.com strives to share helpful information and education about gun-related topics, training tips, and other things that may potentially have legal implications for its listeners. The information contained in this podcast is intended in good faith, but it is important to understand that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand laws that apply to them. Nothing in this podcast should be misconstrued as legal advice or counsel.